And if you're turning in your Bibles, please turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 6, verses 6 to 13. I'll be reading. It's on the screen behind me. Please open your Bibles as well and follow along as we look at today's scripture passage in the Gospel of Mark. Let us hear from the word of the Lord. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. That just could be a different passage, but... And John wearing camel's hair and a leather belt, that could be for another day. But but if you have your Bibles in front of you, Mark chapter 6, carrying on. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread. No bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent, that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Keep your Bibles with you and open to that passage as we continue this morning. This morning, I wanted to just to begin again by just, as Pastor Lionel mentioned earlier, following the services, a time to fellowship. And we hope you can stay and catch up with somebody. Maybe talk to somebody you haven't really talked to in a while. Just catch up and connect. And then following our time of fellowship, we meet back in here in the sanctuary, all ages, for our adult Bible study. And today we're looking at our final lesson in the Psalm 23 series we've been on. And we're looking at Psalm 23, verse 6. Does anybody know that off by heart? Surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will in the house of the Lord forever. Good job. You know it. You won't want to miss our final lesson in the Psalm 23 series. So following the Bible study, of course, I hope you can all stay for this incredible soup and sandwich buffet we're going to have, where we're going to continue to fellowship together. And I love our time together as church family. We get to meet new people, and there are some visitors here today. I hope you will greet them. But we get to catch up to see how God is at work in our lives. It's so important that we talk about our faith all week long, let alone on Sunday morning when we have an opportunity. How is God working in your life today? How do you need prayer, Gail? If I get a chance, I might even talk to you about that later. You know, just reach out to somebody and see how everybody's doing. One last announcement is that we have Bev Moreau here with us this morning, and she is 91 today. Happy birthday, Bev. So she's right there, sitting beside her grandson. 91. Praise the Lord. So you're going to want to certainly wish her a happy birthday today when you see her. Sorry to put you on the spot like that, but a little birdie named Ron told me that it was your birthday. That's great. It is. It is wonderful. Now, as Pastor Lionel mentioned, today during our missions and outreach sandwich and soup luncheon, we're recognizing the work of Andre Subamana, who is our partner in missions. And he lives in Rwanda, Africa, with his family. And he is our partner in missions with Canadian Baptist Ministries. And as the Africa team leader, the work he does is just incredible. God certainly placed it on his heart to serve in that part of the world. And a lot of his work deals with training nationals how to reach the lost for Christ and discipling new believers, helping them understand what it means now to be part of the Christian faith. But he is also busy resourcing Christian organizations and traveling through many countries, many African countries, helping to bring encouragement to the church, and then as needs arise, to help with those physical needs, whether it's water-related or food-related. So continue to pray for Andre as we recognize his work during, and thank you, Missions and Outreach Committee, for putting on this luncheon for us to recognize and keep praying and supporting him. So this morning, with that in mind, being a missionary, being on mission, I would like for us to think about what it means to be on mission. And the word mission, if you didn't know, it comes from a Latin word that means to send. To send. You see, Jesus, our incredible Savior and Lord. He lived a sent life. And he prepared his disciples to live sent as well, as we will see in our passage. He sends them out, as he does to this day and into the future, every follower of Jesus Christ. We are sent once. Every believer in Jesus Christ, young and old, is called to engage the world around them, reaching the lost for Christ, being salt of the earth and the light of the world. In fact, I attended a church once where there was a slogan above their door entrance as you go out of the building that said, "You are now entering the mission field." And just as a reminder that every single one of us there worshiping, young or old, as we go out into the world, we are going out as sent ones to be ambassadors of Christ, to let people know that there is hope and that there is a Jesus who came to rescue us from the power and penalty of sin. Living sent is about following Jesus with an everyday, anywhere, anytime, with anyone intentionality. It truly is. In Matthew 4, verse 19, those famous words, Jesus said, "Come, follow me," to those fishermen. And then he says, "I will make you fishers of men," not fishers of fish. They were already doing that. Jesus was giving them a whole new life. And he changed them to do that. There is no other kind of disciple than one who is sent. Jesus calls us, teaches us, empowers us, and then sends us to fish for people. And Jesus was asking them then and now to cast the gospel message out to people and try to catch men's hearts. This is the work of God, of course. The Spirit of the Lord regenerating hearts and drawing men unto himself. But he has created the church, followers of Christ, to be on mission for him. Now, one missionary who served the Lord years ago was a man by the name of James Calvert. He was born in 1813. He died in 1892. He was a Methodist missionary from England who is known for his missionary work in the Fiji Islands. And God had put on his heart a desire to spread the gospel to a tribe of people who had never heard the gospel before, let alone had they ever had the scriptures on their island. Here was a people group, remote. God called him to go, and he went. It was his passion to reach souls that was undeniable. But to a far off land, well, that was a God specific call in his life. And so he went there, and he went to a land that had yet to receive the gospel and the scriptures. And one thing you should know about some of these tribes in Fiji at that time in history is that some of them were known to be cannibalistic tribes. That's a little scary. That's putting your life right out there. And as one testimony goes, the ship captain, before he dropped James and his wife off in these Fiji Islands, had said, "You know, you're going to lose your life. If you go there, you're going to lose your life and those with you if you go among such savages." Can you imagine just that mindset? But, you know, to that, Calvert replied, "We died before we came here." We died. What was he saying? We died before he came here. What was he saying in that famous response of him? But what he was saying, like so many other missionaries, workers, past and present, he recognized that his life wasn't his own, that he had died to Christ and he was now alive with him, and no matter where he was going, God was going before him. He recognized that when Jesus saves our lives, we no longer belong to ourselves, we belong to him, we belong to God. And this is what it means to follow Jesus in his footsteps. It's no longer about my life, my comforts, my wants. Because to be a Christian in this world means that there's going to be hardship. There's going to be trials. There's going to be opposition and rejection. In Galatians 2, verse 20, Paul states, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." In his response, he said, "I've already died." In Romans 14, verse 8, James Calvert knew this full well, "For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." And so as a follower of Jesus Christ, what James Calvert was saying in that response was he knew he was a sent one. And he knew that wherever the Lord sent him, he would obey no matter what the cost. For the sake of Jesus Christ, he was going to reach them, that tribe, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. After all, as believers in Christ, we have nothing left to lose. Philippians 1 verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, James Calvert ended up living amongst the tribes in Fiji Islands for about 17 years, serving them, loving them, coming alongside them. He's got a great testimony and biography. God used him in a mighty way. This is what it means to be on mission for Jesus. It means to follow in his footsteps every day, a life of total surrender and willingness to go, whether God sends you across the world or he sends you across the street. But it's going to cost, no matter what. This is what it means to be on mission for Jesus. But sadly, in this world, we face so many distractions, don't we? We can easily lose our focus on being missional, and we end up keeping to ourselves. And most sadly, we keep our faith to ourselves. You know, a young boy once asked his mother and grandmother to play with him in a brand new sandbox in the front yard. And of course, they were more than happy to answer that request. And so he equipped each of them, his grandma and his mom, with a shovel and a pail and some Tonka trucks. You know, those yellow ones that they still might make? So they promptly put those toys to use as they are sitting in this new sandbox with this little boy. Now, as the two adult women became involved in conversation and just talking away, they began to notice that people passing by on the sidewalk were slowing down and giving them some very interested looks, strange looks, I'm sure. And it was then that they realized that they had become so busy talking that they had not noticed that the little boy, he had just gotten up and he went to the backyard to play with some different toys. So there they are, left alone in the sandbox, two grown women, shovels and pails, Tonka trucks, just having a blast. But what a strange and silly sight that would have been for those passing by, not sure what is going on here. Mother and daughter bonding in a sandbox? Who does that? What mother and daughter have ever done that here in your older ages? So the point I'm trying to make is it's easy, as time goes by, to lose your focus on what you're doing and why you're doing it. But if you forget what your purpose is, you can look awfully silly. You can miss out also on what God's will is for your life, where he's calling you, what he wants you to do, how he wants you to live out your faith in front of your family and your neighbors. It's not uncommon for Christians and churches to forget what their mission is and to get involved in all sorts of activities and programs that not serve that mission. Jesus speaks very clearly to our mission as his followers and as the church of Jesus Christ. Listen to just some of these verses in Scripture where Jesus tells us what it means to be on mission for him. In Mark 16, verses 15 to 16, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Just before he returned to his Father in heaven, Jesus passed the baton to his disciples. There was a transfer. There was an exchange. And he instructed them to continue the same message of taking the gospel to the world. Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, we learn about the Great Commission, where it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So as disciples of Jesus Christ, and if you are here today and you have accepted Christ as your Savior, first of all, praise the Lord. But we are called to carry on this mission that Jesus started, as we see revealed in Scripture, all through the Gospels. We must be intentional, absolutely. We must be practical if we are to avoid the many distractions of this life that would hinder us from walking in obedience. So our service to God's kingdom, when you think about it, it is really an extension of Christ's work. It's something that we do with him, not just something we do for him. Or better said, it's what he does through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit. The gospel calls every believer to, yes, believe what Jesus believed, to live as Jesus lived, to love as Jesus loved, and to serve as Jesus served. He is the way. He is also the truth, and he is the life. As Jesus moved about throughout the land where he lived, around Galilee, as we read at the beginning of Mark, he is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. He is demonstrating the presence of the kingdom through works of power, and now he is sending out his disciples to share in this mission. So in our passage today, if you have your Bibles right there with you, we learn that Jesus, in our passage, he gave his disciples authority over demons, as well as power to heal the sick. In this way, they were able to carry the message of the kingdom with its call to repentance, just as Jesus did. So we're seeing this baton being passed in our passage today. And there are several important lessons that I want to highlight when it comes to being on mission for Jesus that are revealed in this text. The first lesson is we must always start with Jesus. The opening words of verse 7 say, calling the 12 to him. Just think about with me just the opening line of verse 7. Calling the 12 to him. The word called means to call to oneself or to summon. And as used by Mark, it is always in the context of being summoned for instruction. And so Jesus is, okay, disciples, all 12 of you, listen up, come close. And we see this action practice all over society in so many different ways. Parents instruct their kids about what they need to know about do's and don'ts when visiting relatives. You know that little huddle you have in the car? We're here at Grandma's, Uncle Ray's. This is what you're going to say, not say, do, not do. Now let's go. You got it? On the same page. We see coaches call a timeout. If you play basketball or football, there's a huddle. This is the play. This is what you're going to do. This is how we're going to execute. This is how we're going to win. Are you with me? Are you with me? Yes. Drew, are you with me? Yes. And so this is how we're going to win. You got it? Everybody knows what they got to do? And so they go out to try and execute that play. Construction site managers, I could go on at the start of the day. This is the project today. This is what everyone's going to do in order to stay out of each other's way and not hurt each other and get the job done. Can you imagine showing up for class and the teacher starts the lesson by saying, good morning, class. Go ahead, get started. That's it. That's how the teacher starts. No instruction. This is what your assignment is. This is what I want you to do. This is how you're going to get it done. If they just started by saying, go ahead, get started, that class is going to be confused. I would not want to be in that class. I would just walk up and get out or start drawing, start talking to my friends. Without any instruction, without any idea of what to do, nothing's going to happen. So how does this passage start? Jesus is saying, come to me. You're going to start with me first. And you have to remember something. Jesus has been with these disciples for many, many months. They have been with him. Jesus has called them to be with him, and now he's going to send them out. These 12 disciples had spent a great deal of time with Jesus before he sent them out on their own. They had been with him for days, listening to his message, listening to him preach the words of the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. They have also watched him perform miracles and healings. They have seen him and listened to him, and now it's their turn. You see, every believer must remember this lesson as well. We have to start with Jesus. We have to spend time with him. And spending time with Jesus first is that opportunity every day to hear from him, to learn from him, and as a result, to become more like him. Another life lesson we learn when it comes to being on mission for Jesus is that we need each other. Okay, we have to start with Jesus, absolutely. Salvation begins, right, by receiving that free gift of salvation. By grace we are saved through faith. And then we start learning about Jesus. We start learning about this Christian faith. And then God calls us to serve one another. But this next point I want us to focus on is the fact that Jesus calls them and then he sends them out, and he sends them out two by two. Why did Jesus send out the disciples in pairs rather than individually? Because we don't see that. More than once, Jesus says, all right, go out two by twos. There's a number of reasons why that's significant, but one thing I want to really highlight here is the fact that we need each other, that there's strength in numbers. In Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12, the Bible tells us that though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three is not quickly broken. There's accountability. There's credibility. There's encouragement. The main point of this is the church is made up of many parts. I'm looking at many parts out here in the body of Christ this morning. And you each have a part to play in the body of Christ. And if we're not working well together, we're not going to be very effective as one unit, are we? What does it look like practically to be working together effectively as the body of Christ? Well, we need to spend time praying with each other. It always has to start there, folks. We need to pray and spend time together in prayer when it comes to reaching the lost and praying for the lost, building each other up, growing in our faith and ministry together. We also need to be meeting together to support each other, to learn about how God has gifted each one of us so that we can know, oh, this is where you're gifted, so this is where you're going to serve. This is where you're gifted, well, this is where you're going to serve. And this is how we're going to serve together and grow in love and in unity. We see that as a very important act. We need to be meeting together to support each other, to carry each other's burdens, to confess our sins one to another, to build each other up and edify each other. In the book of Acts, we get an incredible sense of community as the early church meets together constantly, not just to share a meal, but to support each other. So being on mission for Jesus requires community and being connected with other believers. Now, at the end of verse 7, we also learn another important lesson when it comes to being on mission for Jesus. We see how important it is to start with him. He calls us to himself, and then he sends us out. We see that we need each other serving together the Lord in this community to advance his kingdom. Thirdly, we see the reality of spiritual warfare. Because as the text says, Jesus gave them authority over evil spirits. Listen, folks, being on mission for Jesus means that we are in a battle against evil in this world. The kingdom of darkness is very real. We cannot become effective followers of Christ until we understand that we have an enemy who works tirelessly. Tirelessly to turn us back to our sinful nature as believers, or just keeping us down, keeping us distracted. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, that there is an enemy who is bent on destruction and will do whatever it takes to leave us discouraged, doubting, and defeated. We have an enemy, as Peter says, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But you know, Jesus promises that his followers can not just survive, but thrive through the battle. Because praise the Lord, God has already defeated Satan. Hallelujah. If you are a born-again believer in this room today, in Jesus Christ, take comfort in this truth from Colossians 1, verses 13 to 14. Jesus has rescued you from the dominion of darkness, and he has placed you in the kingdom of the Son that he loves, where you have been forgiven of your sins. That's the truth about who you are in Christ, rescued, no longer part of the kingdom of darkness, but part of the kingdom of the Son that he loves. You belong to Jesus. The Holy Spirit has given you power to serve him. And here in this text, Jesus gives the 12 disciples. Here in this text, we learn that Jesus gives believers the authority to serve and work and pray in his name. The name above all names. The only name by which man can be saved. And when we do so, believing in Christ's saving power, desiring his will. In Mark 6, verse 7, again, Jesus is extending his ministry by means of these 12 disciples. There will be opposition from the devil today, moving forward as we confront the world with the claims of Jesus Christ. So don't be surprised. But neither should we be alarmed, for we go in Jesus' name and the victory is his. The battle belongs to the Lord. The last lesson we are going to look at today in our text is in verse 8. In verse 8, we learn the lesson of trusting in God to provide for our needs. So after he sends them out two by two, and he gives them authority over evil spirits, he says this: take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. In verse 8, we learn the lesson of trusting in God to provide for our needs. What does Jesus tell his disciples to take for the journey from what I just read? Basically nothing except a staff. And here he was saying, you don't need to go get another staff. Just use the one that you got. Jesus commanded them to take nothing else for the journey, and he was clear about that. And the lesson that Jesus was wanting to get across then and now was for them to stay dependent upon God. We need to stay dependent upon God and trust in him for everything. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. As missionary Hudson Taylor once said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supplies. God is our perfect provider, isn't he? So trust in him. Are you trusting in him today? In the late 1800s, and I love this story and I've shared it many times, George Mueller operated an orphanage that at one time had 1,000 orphans. And one morning there was no food to eat. None. So he called all the children and staff together and they prayed. And they prayed, thanking God for the provision of food, even though no food or milk was on the table. A few moments later, a baker knocked on the door. And he told Mr. Mueller that God had led him to bake bread the night before, and he gave it to the orphanage. And before the bread was given to the children, a milkman knocked on the door. He said that his milk truck had broken down, and he wanted to give the milk to the orphanage. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And I'm sure we could go on, and you have countless examples of God providing for your needs, even yesterday, let alone last week. How about you share that later over coffee and tea? Praise God, he provides. So let us learn, Lord, help us to learn to be content with the provision which the Lord has provided for us. Let us also learn to trust the Lord for our provision, and let us trust the Lord as he uses us to perhaps be that provision to someone in need today. Now, the passage carries on in verses 11 to 13, and there are some really more important lessons that I want to share with you, especially when it talks about leaving a place and shaking the dust off your feet, or that later we learn that they preached the message of repentance and drove out many demons, anointed many sick. But those lessons we're going to cover next week, so you're going to have to come back for that. So next week, we're going to learn more of those lessons from verses 11 to 13 when it comes to being on mission for Christ. But today, I wanted to touch on these four, starting with Jesus, serving together. We're in a warfare, but Jesus is victorious, and trusting in God for our provisions. You know, as we close, I want to share one last passage with you, and it's from Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 to 38. And it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Will you pray that with me this morning? Because we know that the harvest is plentiful and there is a need for laborers. Will you pray for that? And better yet, will you go and enter the harvest field? You know, of his followers, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather together to worship you. We thank you for the ministry of your holy and powerful word. And there is so much still even in this passage, God, that we need to learn. And so we pray and we ask, Holy Spirit, help us to understand your word, the spiritual truths and principles that lie beneath these words that we need to understand and know so that we can be a faithful follower of Christ today and moving forward. Lord, if there's anyone here today that just needs courage, perhaps they've been holding off speaking to someone about the gospel, God, we look to you, and Lord, I pray that you would fill this entire place with a fresh outpouring of courage, a spirit of courage and strength and boldness to speak up about Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, we just pray that you would move powerfully across Campbellford and every community in this area, Lord. Have mercy on those who are lost. Lord, we pray that by your grace and mercy, Lord, they will, Lord, turn to you and trust in you, Lord, to be their Savior. We thank you, God, that there is, again, no work too hard for you, no heart that you cannot soften, no life that you cannot transform, even right now, by your powerful, loving, transforming presence. Thank you for being our good, good Father. We love you. Thank you for your forgiveness. As we carry on this morning with each other, Lord, we pray that you would bless our time of conversation and fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.